You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details. Welcome to the Mash Those Buttons show, where we cover the latest in games, community, culture, and everything in between. This week, we're playing a bit of catch-up, actually. We're going to talk about Anthem getting canceled. We're going to talk about Henry Cavill as our possible Commander Shepard. And we're also going to talk about Aliens Fireteam. This is episode number 41, and we are recording for the week of March 8th, 2021. My name is Jared, but you can call me Ja. And I am here with the games industry public defender, the scourge of Ironforge, Nick Zelenkevich.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
I think he's a little down because I don't call him the Microsoft show anymore.
It's been a long week. It's been a long 3 weeks or whatever since we last recorded.
I think it's been 2 weeks, yeah. So we definitely missed a week. The last recording that we have for the Master Button show was the BlizzCon special, which... You know, obviously had, you know, people from other shows. I recorded with the guys from Push the Point. Nick recorded with everybody else. So
actually, didn't I do with Kurabara even before that? Like, when was the last time?
I think the episode before that we had Mike on the show.
Oh, that's right. We had Mike. Yeah, that's right.
So, and one of the topics we talked about was Anthem. So we're gonna like kind of swing back around to that, but I mean, how you doing? How have you been post BlizzCon?
It's been a long week. No, BlizzCon was good. Obviously, BlizzCon was good. We talked about that already. I never got around. I never watched. I only watched the WoW stuff. I haven't had the chance to go around and actually watch like the some of the Overwatch panels or the Hearthstone panels. Usually, I watch them. And so, as much as I may be complaining, like I feel like Blizzard could have given us more. It's like I didn't even take all that they gave. I'm like, I just took what I could and moved on with that. So it's just, it's just been a long week. So
you keep saying that.
No, the other night we painted, my son's room. We painted it green, and I don't know why that detail is relevant to anybody, but now, you know, I record here in my little office, but it's also like a guest room. So he slept in here. So I couldn't, you know, so he was sleeping in here that night. So I couldn't play on my computer. Cause it's like, it's in here with him. I'm not going to be, you know, up late playing WoW or whatever. So I was downstairs on the PlayStation and, you know, my wife was down there. She was on the phone with a friend. And so I'm just sitting there. I have hours before me to play on the PlayStation, and I couldn't pick a game. It was just one of those, like, you know, it's like I got the Final Fantasy 12 that I've been playing. I got Horizon Zero Dawn is on there. I think this might have been right before, maybe it was after. I think the Final Fantasy 7 remake was available on PlayStation Plus, although I'd have to clear space to download that. And I was just like, I wound up playing Peggle. I was like, I just in one of those like not gaming moods. Like I was like, I like all those games. I want to play all those games. I just didn't want to play them that night. And I was like, and it was depressing because like to have like, oh, I'm going to have like a solid 2 hours to play a game. Unprecedented. I never get 2 hours to play a game unbroken. And it's like, yeah, it's like, here it is for you. And I was just like, I didn't want it at that time. And so it's been a long week.
So like, you don't have Tetris Effect or anything like that? Because when I can't decide to play a game, the answer is always Tetris Effect. Always.
Is that on PlayStation Plus or PlayStation?
It's on PlayStation. Yeah,
I'll have to look for that then.
Okay. I'm pretty sure it was originally released as a PlayStation exclusive. Then it went to the Epic Store, and then they released like Tetris Effect Connected, and now it's on the Xbox. But that's the game. You can't decide to play a game. It's always Tetris Effect. It's an excellent game. Very, very soothing most of the time.
That's what Peggle was. I'm just sitting there bouncing the ball around. And I'm like, all right, I can do this. And then before I knew it, 2 hours was up and it was time to move on to other things.
Dude, I remember playing Peggle. Like, how old is Peggle? Like, I remember playing Peggle back in like 2009, maybe 2010, on a laptop that I took to my car dealership because my car was getting serviced. And this lady, like, she was like, she kept like looking at my screen. She was sitting next to me every time, like I would, you know, you get the last, the what you call it in, and it makes all the rainbows yes. and stuff like that, you know. So like, it's such, that's such an old game, but lives forever. Yeah. So I mean, I've just been doing my normal stuff. I've gotten a chance to catch up on some of my GTFO. Oh, sorry, not GTFO. On some of my Cyberpunk, because there's no, we're still doing Night City Stories. We're actually trying to ramp up the recording on that, and kind of like, you know, maybe record some additional episodes, especially it'll be helpful to have some additional episodes in the pocket for another project that we have, you know, coming up soon. I've been doing that. I've been playing GTFO. We're almost done with this rundown, but I think this rundown's almost done with us, because I'm pretty sure we're going to get a new one like at the end of April. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I mean, enough about that. Let's go ahead. We're going to start heading into our topics. Before we do that, though, I'd like to welcome any first-time listeners. Thank you guys very much for taking the time to check out the Mash Those Buttons show. And also, I'd like to thank and welcome back any returning listeners and give a very big special thanks to our supporters, either on Patreon or our Twitch subscribers. That's patreon.com/mashthosebuttons and twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons. And if you want to know when we go live on Twitch, just follow us at twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons. And, you know, you can also follow us on Twitter, which is twitter.com/TheMash Network. And you can join our Discord and, you know, talk to us sometime. Join the rest of our community. That's mash.gg/Discord. So let's hop right into Anthem, or the end of Anthem, I should say, because Anthem has officially been canceled. I'll just read a little bit of from the cancellation. 2020 was a year unlike any other, however. And while we continue to make progress against all our game projects at BioWare, working from home during the pandemic has had an impact on our productivity, and not everything we had planned as a studio before COVID-19 can be accomplished without putting undue stress on our teams. And that's from BioWare Austin Studios director Christian Daly. He also said, I know this will be disappointing to the community of Anthem players who have been excited to see the improvements we've been working on. It's also disappointing for the team who were doing brilliant work. And for me personally, Anthem is what brought me to BioWare, and the last 2 years have been some of the most challenging and rewarding experiences of my career. So Anthem, like I said, at this point, it's pretty much old news, but Anthem's been canceled, and they will be focusing on the new Mass Effect game, Dragon Age 4, and also some content for Star Wars The Old Republic. And, I mean, it's not really much of a surprise, because Anthem was kind of up in the air anyway. However, I will say this. I mean, this is where I think the problems kind of begin, because it is just well documented that Anthem was completely underdelivered, right? And I wonder if there's any action that can be taken there, like, you know, by anybody, that, you know, not only did you underdeliver, like, you didn't even try to fix it. You know, The Division underdelivered on launch, and they fixed it like 2 years, I want to say, after the fact. They still fixed The Division when they got to patch, I think it was 1.8, which I think patch 1.8 was not 2 years. I think it was a year and a half, let's say. It took them to get to patch 1.8 for The Division. The Division was an extremely, it was in a great state. And I think the problem with The Division 2 was just lack of new content for the most part. Anthem wasn't lack of content. It was just the whole game need to be, you know, flipped upside down and reworked. So yeah, like, you know, I think we've become accustomed, or at least we understand that a game can launch and then not be that good, but you give them some time and they'll rework it. I mean, they're doing that right now with Hyperscape. That's the name of the game from Ubisoft, right? Hyperscape. Yes. But now they're completely giving up on Anthem, and yeah, your $60 basically just went down the toilet. It went down the toilet before, you know. So, yeah.
Well, I think anybody who had spent $60 on the game already understood where they were, understood that money was lost. I guess you could say that there's a certain amount of speculation in this industry when you decide to participate in a game of this nature and you invest that $60, there's a chance that the experience that you think you're buying may not materialize ever. And you're going to get what you get out of the box, and hopefully it'll go. I'm trying to think, has there been a, because it was a looter shooter, right? I mean, as much as it was like, yeah, you got in the mech suit and flew around and all that, at its core, it was a looter shooter. Has there been a looter shooter that day one nailed it? I feel like, no. like you point out The Division, Destiny, Diablo 3, I mean, to stretch the definition of a looter shooter, but I mean, I the Avengers game, I'm trying to think, like, right. all of that style game, they all come out and they're all underwhelming, and it takes them a while to figure out, it's almost like watching, it's almost like a sitcom, like, or a television show where they're like, yeah, it takes you like, it takes the people making it. Like, I'm not talking like the real short, like Netflix, like eight episode series, like not that, like the old school, we got 22 episodes a season and we're going to go for 7 seasons, where it takes them like 6 episodes to figure out what the show even is. And it's the same kind of thing. Like, it takes them a few patches into actual release to actually be like, okay, now we understand the game. Now we've got the mechanics, everything we thought we knew from the beta and development. It's like the ideas that they have and the systems that they put in place, it changes once they hit that crucible of the fans swarming in and actually testing it out and just throwing everything at it and being like, okay, we burned through all this content you gave us. We burned through that in like 2 hours. Where's more? And it's like, crap, we weren't planned for that. We gotta get our asses in gear. And yeah, it's, I think we're used to that to a degree, but there's always that chance, you know, like with TV, like, you know, you may have a rocky first 6 episodes. If you get picked up and you go for the full season, you figure it out and you're good. Otherwise, you know, you may have a rocky 6 episodes and then you're canceled and you're done. And that's ultimately what Anthem Fate was.
So there's 2 things I'm going to address with what you said. First of all, you call Diablo 3 a looter shooter.
It's the loot.
Well, nope.
Not a shooter.
No. I need you to stop. I need you to stop right now. That's disrespectful as shit. Because Diablo 3 is a dungeon crawler. All of these games should be called first-person dungeon crawlers.
I'll give you that.
The console people that start calling them looter shooters. That sounds goofy as shit. I know I sound like a snooty motherfucker right now, but I hate the term looter shooter.
It rhymes. It flows much better. Nothing wrong with dungeon crawler. It doesn't stick, but it's looter shooter. It's more fun.
No, it sounds. Every time I hear the word looter shooter, I feel like I should hear like that clown honk, like right after it. That's what I feel like. I feel like I should hear the clown honk every time I hear the word, the term looter shooter. It's like, because that's what they are. Like, okay, for example, Borderlands 3 or Borderlands wasn't called a looter shooter until after Destiny came out. It's the same fucking game. Borderlands was a dungeon crawler. It was a first person dungeon crawler, and that's what it was called until fucking Destiny came out and people started calling them looter shooters. Like, no,
so it should be an FDC, you know, an FPDC.
It's a first person dungeon crawler. That's what it is. Like, that's what, like, you know, the reason I think console players started calling them looter shooters because they weren't familiar with the fucking genre. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing. Like, I think Destiny was a very new type of game for people. And I think if you were a PC player, it wasn't a new type of game. It was the same. It was an old style game, or a specific genre just changed for the first person, you know? So that's the thing. On this show, they're first person dungeon crawlers going forward. First person dungeon crawlers to all 6 of you listening to this show. But that's what, it makes more sense. But yeah, so I was messing around, kinda.
I will stay off your lawn.
Yeah, stay off my lawn. But yeah, so the thing about it though is like, yeah, like when a game like this, so the newest one is the Outriders. Is it Outriders or Outsiders? I think it's Outriders.
Riders, right? Yep.
And I am not expecting for that game to be good on launch, even though people are saying that the demo is fun. I'm not expecting for that game to be great on launch, right? I will give it a chance for it to grow into a good game, though, right? And with Anthem, nobody was expecting that game to be good or great at launch. They expected it to be fucking playable. Okay, they expected it to be playable, and we couldn't even really get that. We couldn't even really get that, you know? The world design, trash. The mob design, trash. The dungeon design, trash. Everything was garbage in that game. And it's like, okay, so they couldn't even pull off what Destiny did, which Destiny at the very least had great mechanics. Shit story, lack of content. Destiny could put out a DLC as they worked on the game. You know, they did that shit for a whole year. They released two DLCs. Yeah, it was The Dark Below and The House of Wolves. And then they released another full expansion. And then the full expansion is what really addressed a lot of the stuff from the previous year. So, yeah, like, we understand you can't do that with Anthem. Like, you kind of have to go back to formula and, redo it from scratch. But I'm sorry. Like, I'm not big into gamer entitlement, but you owe that to the people that bought your game. They owed that, and they haven't met that. Now, since this isn't a Disney property, it's not going to get as much flack. Because, trust me, if Star Wars wasn't Star Wars, or if Star Wars wasn't a Disney property when Battlefront 2 came out, I don't think Battlefront 2 gets the treatment it did, because they turned Battlefront 2 from a dud to a great game. Like, I was watching somebody play it the other day. I was like, I might actually turn this on, you know? So yeah, like, that's the thing. They're just going to like sweep this under the rug. They got everybody's money. You know, they made a whole bunch of money off of people, and then they're not going to even attempt to fix it. I think they took it off of the store too. I think they took it off of the Origin store. If you're still using Origin, I don't know why. I mean, most of their games are on Steam. Come on, y'all, get it together. But yeah, like, they said they're going to keep the services running, but why? Like, that's not helping anybody, because the people who were probably still playing and just trying to, you know, keep up and keep it going, like, they were just waiting for the updates to see what they were going to do. Maybe they thought if they played enough, they'd get into like a beta or an alpha or something like that. And like, no, it's not. So yeah, I think this is worse than a game that just doesn't do that well. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think like Bleeding Edge was a game that came out. I think they stopped development on that because it just didn't really catch. It wasn't a bad game. I'm sorry, making a multiplayer title is tough, man. You got to really give people a reason to play that multiplayer title, and they couldn't do it. It's not like this game came out and it just didn't catch. You threw it out there and it was garbage. You know, you knew what you were doing. So this is another mark on EA's belt. But all they got to do is go ahead and put out another like Jedi Fallen Order, or the next BioWare game just needs to make sure it hits, which I think the next BioWare game is going to be probably Dragon Age 4, right?
Yeah.
You know,
I think that BioWare has too much riding on Dragon Age 4 that it has to hit. They don't have they don't have a choice, an option for it not to hit. If it, like, it's inconceivable that it wouldn't hit. Like, it has to hit.
Now we're putting a bunch of pressure on this new Dragon Age game that I don't even know if they'll be able to match, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, so
doesn't matter. It has to hit.
All right, so we're gonna go ahead and move on. Let's talk about CD Projekt Red, our weekly Cyberpunk check-in to a degree, where I think they had to push back some updates because apparently that hack that they had to deal with in February basically just stopped a lot of employees from working for like 2 weeks. I think it was about 2 weeks that employees had to stop working. So I'll just read a couple of comments from, not comments, but a couple parts from the article. It says, this is from Bloomberg, by the way, the CD Projekt has said it refused to pay the ransom to the hackers, and it has cut off remote access to internal network resources and isolated the internal network from the internet. As a result, employees remain unable to log into the company's virtual private network, making it impossible to access system and tools needed to do most of their jobs, and the said the people. Requesting to be anonymous because they weren't authorized to talk publicly. Although some CD Projekt employees are working from the headquarters in Warsaw, the majority are at home due to a coronavirus pandemic. When asked for comment, CD Projekt referred to the February 17th letter. Despite the unplanned vacation, the hack has been a nightmare for employees. The invaders may have had access to their personal information, including Polish identification numbers and passport details, leading the company to tell staff to freeze their accounts and report the security breach to relevant parties, said the people familiar with the matter. Workers were also asked to ship their computers to the company's IT staff to be scanned for malware and other intrusions, the people said. So, yeah, this is just a shit show for them. They were on track to do a lot of patching for Cyberpunk. They dropped, I think, two patches so far, and I haven't noticed a big difference. But then again, the game wasn't that buggy to me. My naked body still appears on top of my motorcycle. I do see that happen sometimes. But it's not the worst thing that can happen in the game, you know. But for console players, I just don't know. Like, this is probably worse for console players because, you know, some of them are still really, like, the game is basically unplayable. I mean, it's still off of the PlayStation Store, if I remember correctly. Like, it's not on there.
There is someone out there who was like, you know, I'm done with Cyberpunk. It's just not working for me. I'm going back to Anthem. And they have had the worst, like, few weeks.
I would say that person has been living under a rock. So maybe they're like, are these video games now? Wow. Like, if that was the case, how'd they even hear about fucking Cyberpunk? If they were still playing Anthem. But, yeah, so this sucks. Oh, one thing, I'm pretty sure this also pushes back the multiplayer even further. But they haven't spoken one word about that multiplayer because they know that they have to get the game in tip-top shape, you know, just with the single player, you know, to before they start talking multiplayer.
That's okay. They still have the Watch Dogs Legion multiplayer to look forward to.
Oh, if you didn't catch that one.
We'll get to that later.
No, we won't. That's not in the show.
Oh, it's not
in
the show. Never mind then.
It's
not going to be on PC Legion either.
Yeah. The Watch Dogs Legion multiplayer has been indefinitely postponed on PC. I mean, I think that's going to come eventually, but right now they're not able to do it. So I actually, once they get this game working, like, you know, stable on all systems, I can totally see this having a resurgence in terms of sales, to be perfectly honest with you. It's not a bad game. It definitely over-delivered. It under-delivered what they promised. But if you can kind of get past that and just take the game for what it is, it's fun. It's fun.
I could see, too, you know, people going out buying it on, like, you know, the current gen where it's, you know, not playable or, you know, barely playable. And then in a few months' time, once, you know, it's all, everything's good and it's all, and, you know, it's like, hey, come back, check out Cyberpunk again. More of the PS5s, more of the Series X's will have sold since then. That there could, not only will there be a resurgence, but people will be getting the next gen anyway of it because there's, you know, there's a bigger base for them out there, and so that might work to CD Projekt Red's benefit.
Maybe that's a big if. We'll see. We'll see if those PS5s get out there. I haven't even checked for Xboxes, to be perfectly honest with you. I have not checked for one. Like, there's no reason for me to get one at this point. Actually, I don't know. Like, with the way they're going to be releasing Xbox titles, you know, the Microsoft exclusives are going to be a PC. It'll probably be a while before I get a Series X. But the PS5, I want to be able to play my Spider-Man Remastered that I already bought. Thank you very much, Sony. Yeah, let's move on. Let's talk about Henry Cavill and how he might be Commander Shepard. Nick had some thoughts on the action figure. First of all, let me just read this from this site first, and then we'll get into Nick's thoughts here. It says, and this is from We Got This Covered.com. It says, as you might have caught wind Hollywood star Henry Cavill recently posted a picture of himself on Instagram, seemingly receiving makeup for a new role while teasing a secret project. Out-of-focus documents seen in the photo foreground have immediately been deciphered by Game Pressure as likely to be an excerpt from the Wikipedia page for Mass Effect 3. Indeed, the website notes that the text present in Cavill's teaser line up word for word with a description of Commander Shepard and mankind's climactic war against the ancient Reapers. Nick?
I like Henry Cavill. Don't get me wrong. This is nothing against his work, his performances. He's the Witcher. He's very good as the Witcher. I have no problem with him as the Witcher. Pick a video game franchise and stick with it. I don't need him in every video game franchise. And I'll admit, this is me a little bit, not so much at reacting to him. It's like, okay, you want to go from The Witcher to Mass Effect? That's great. On the WoW forums, there are way too many people who are like, Henry Cavill is so great as The Witcher, he needs to play Arthas if there's ever a Warcraft 3 movie. And it's like, just like, no, like, give him... You know, let him pick a role and stick with that and be that. Like, you know, it should really be you get one video game role and that's it. And, you know, if you want to, you know, he could be Superman and he could be The Witcher. I don't need him in every video game adaptation going forward. I don't need him to be, you know, in a Mario Brothers movie. I don't need him to be in a Duck Hunt movie. I don't need him to be in anything else. Let him be The Witcher. But that said, I'm sure he'll be a great Commander Shepard.
Yeah, I mean, full disclosure, I have not watched The Witcher yet. I just haven't. Like, I have this thing where about, like, you know, I understand. I'm pretty sure it's more from the book, right? Not the game, yes. The series. But I still want to finish The Witcher 3 before I play it. I just have this thing about it, which I probably shouldn't. But I haven't watched The Witcher 3 yet. Not Witcher 3 yet. I haven't watched the Witcher series yet. I'm behind on a lot of series, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, I don't necessarily mind it. I don't want him popping up all over the place as these major characters or video games, though. Like, because he basically fits the description of almost every leading video game male character. Or he could. Like, fit the description from all. He could be fucking Nathan Drake. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? if he wanted to be. You put a beard on him, he could probably be fucking Kratos. You know?
Well, speaking of which, you know who else? Pedro Pascal. Being Joel, he needs to step back. You're doing too much, buddy. Take a break. There's a pandemic. You should be home in your house, not out being every role. You're the man. I know you're the Mandalorian, and you got a helmet on, so nobody sees your face. But enjoy that. You don't need to be Joel. Yeah. Although somebody did like a mock-up of him as Joel, and I thought it looked pretty good. I'm sure he'll be great in it. He's great also.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot, but he's just been in a lot of different movies. Like, what was he in? He was in Spy Kids, like the new Spy Kids movie.
Yes.
And then he was in, and he was also in Wonder Woman.
Yes.
He could have skipped that one, to be perfectly honest with you. And then he was in The Mandalorian. So yeah, he was all over the place. So, but yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind it. I just, the thing about Mass Effect, though, I don't think that's a good series to make a movie out of. Because the Mass Effect experience isn't one solid experience.
Well, that's why you do it like Sliding Doors.
What's that?
Like, that's the Gwyneth Paltrow movie where she either misses a train or she gets on the train, and then you see how her life would have been different in either either timeline. And so you're following like the two stories of her life as they go along, and you see how it ends up.
But yeah, but we're talking about like sliding trains times like what, yeah. Like 6, 7, 8, like, you know. There's a lot of stuff that can happen. Like, who's going to live, Ashley or Caden? You know? How do you pick? Who's he going to romance?
I wonder if it's... Well, on the one hand, Netflix does have choose-your-own-adventure technology.
They do.
You could actually do it that way, like, you know, who should Shepard save, Caden? But then you're basically playing through the game, except you're just doing it on Netflix, and all the shooting sequences are just action movie sequences. You're not actually playing the game, which... I don't know. You're right. Because even then, the fact that he's Shepard, right off the bat, everybody that played as FemShep, you're out in the cold.
Yep.
So there should be a FemShep character alongside Shepard. But then what, are they brother and sister? Now you're really changing things up. If anything, you do a Mass Effect, you do a story in the Mass Effect world that's not about Shepard.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's how that should get handled. Like for example, if they ever do a Legend of Zelda series, I don't want to see Link in that shit. Because I don't want him talking. We know what happens when Link talks. We know what happens when he talks, and I don't want that shit happening.
He can be dopey. It's fun.
No, thank you. So, yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's just a bad series, I think, to do a movie, a bad game to do, like, a movie or a series out of, to be perfectly honest with you, because there's so many different options. Is he Renegade or Paragon? He can't be in the middle, because that's the worst way to go. You got to pick a side.
Or the best way.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's going to voice a fucking Mass Effect character. He's going to be the ghost of Shepard in fucking the new Mass Effect.
Well, that's insulting to Mark Meer.
Hey, he's not Henry Cavill, so maybe he should have been born better. Maybe he should blame his parents. Yeah. But no. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't mind Henry Cavill. I just don't think Mass Effect is, I don't think it's the series, you know what I'm saying? To make a you know, a TV or a movie out of. So, but yeah, let's move on to our last topic. We're just going to talk about Aliens Fireteam. It's I didn't even realize this, but apparently a teaser was shown in 2018. I'm like, where the fuck was I? Why didn't I see this? When did Aliens Colonial Marines come out? Was that 2015?
What? Oh, I had to be older than that. Was that the really terrible one?
People say it was really terrible.
Yeah, it's
2013. That, yeah,
yeah.
The Steam rating is 6 out of 10. I'd give it a 5 out of 10. I give it a 5, not a 6. I'd give it a 5 out of 10. It can only go 5 because the aliens walk on 2 legs. You want a 6? They would need to walk on 4.
Well, he's bad. 2 legs, good.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, so it's been a while, and you would think the stench might have passed, but as soon as I saw the trailer for it, the one that they just released, everybody was commenting about, oh, it's Colonial Marines, Colonial Marines. It didn't help that YouTube tagged it as Colonial Marines as well. maybe because of all the people saying Colonial Marines, I don't know. But YouTube definitely tagged as Colonial Marines. But it's a three-player co-op PvE shooter. I'll read a little bit from the IGN article. It says, Fireteam is set in 2202, 23 years after the original Alien movie trilogy. At this point in the timeline, xenomorph outbreaks are rare, but the aliens are widely known about. The Colonial Protection Act of 2187 commissioned warships to patrol the universe and protect colonists from xenomorph outbreaks. You play a new soldier aboard the USS Endeavor, and you end up orbiting Katanga after a distress call. There are over 20 total enemy ships, enemy types, including 11 unique types of xenomorph, ranging from facehuggers to Praetorians, and synthetics will also be on your list of foes. Each campaign has new enemies to fight, one of them being a xenomorph hive. Players, meanwhile, can choose one of 5 unique classes: Gunner, Demolisher, Technician, Doc, and Recon. You'll be able to customize your Colonial Marine with your unlockable cosmetics. Challenge cards are optional mutators that alter gameplay in order to encourage replayability. One card might require headshots in order to do any damage. Meanwhile, higher difficulty levels introduce things like friendly fire, deadlier acid spray from xenomorphs, and scarcer resources. This is a trend right now. This is a trend. The co-op shooter, actually, in the 3-person co-op shooter. Well, this, and then also the Rainbow Six Quarantine, which they're going to be changing the name of that. There was another co-op one I saw, and I can't remember the name of it. And obviously, you have GTFO, but GTFO is 4 players. I wonder if they're ever going to change it to 3 players, mainly because that's the most common combination I see is 3 people playing GTFO. But I'm tell you straight up, GTFO does not scale down. Okay. Like a lot of it's funny because right on the early access page for that game, they give you a warning about how hard the game is. They recommend that you go watch YouTube videos before you buy the game. This is how hard the game is. and they recommend you have four people to play with, even though you can easily find somebody in the GTFO Discord, and people still get it, don't pay attention, and then think that the difficulty scale is down. No, it doesn't, dude. So I think they're choosing three players because it's easier to get three than four, obviously. You know? But yeah, this is kind of a trend right now. I am curious to see what they do with it. Now, I don't think they're going to make it too difficult because they want people playing the game. The more difficult you make a game, the less people are going to play it. I mean, I think actually GTFO is a great example of that because there's a strong community for GTFO. But most of the time, I see people make it through the A levels, they hit B1, never play it again. it's like a slap in the face, you know? So I am curious. I mean, I'm going to get it. I don't see why. I'm going to get both. I'm going to get Quarantine. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get whatever the one I can't think of right now. So it's a good time. You know, it's better than the fucking trend where you have like three or four co-op players and one non, like one enemy. I hated that trend. I hated that shit so bad.
Yeah, I got nothing.
No, but yeah, so I mean, it's funny because like, you know, we've been gone for 2 weeks for the most part, well, for a week and some change. Like I would say for 2 weeks for normal news, right? Like yeah. We really haven't talked normal news for 2 weeks and we come back and there's just a bunch of stuff that, I don't know, maybe we're missing it. I just didn't see that much happening. Or maybe we're not casting our net wide enough. That could be it. Something happened with Pokemon. You know, I do know that. Maybe that's part of the problem.
There was the there was a PlayStation Direct. Is that what it's called? Or a PlayStation? There was something about PlayStation. I think there was a Nintendo Direct at some point.
And I completely forgot to watch that shit. So for anybody who listens to this show, please do know we do this mostly for the community that already exists at Mash Those Buttons. I'm not expecting to pull in new listeners listening to the show. So if you're actually a new listener listening to this show, like, man, these guys are terrible. I am so sorry. Like,
this was not the episode to join. Go back and listen to our BlizzCon episode. That was pretty good.
I'm so sorry. Like, this show really is pointed to the people who already listen to other shows at the Mashles, on the Mashles Buttons Network. Like, it's kind of like a community show to a degree, you know? Sorry about that. Even though I call this the flagship show, like, technically speaking, because it has, like, the name, but it's really for the people who we already know listen to the Mashles Buttons podcast. They know me.
It's like if you listen to the other A-tier shows, this is the B-tier show, and we slap you in the face when you start listening.
No, like, that's kind of the idea behind the show. Like, I mean, you want to talk about that for a bit, how general shows usually aren't the best type of shows to do. It's true. Like, the general podcasts generally aren't the best shows to do because it's hard for people to find them. I mean, it'd be different if I was like Jeff Keighley. You know what I'm saying? Jeff Keighley can start a general games podcast and people will listen to it. You know, he probably has some interesting guests and stuff like that. Like, you know, he wouldn't talk about game news. The shit's beneath him. He made the Half-Life documentary, you know? So
he doesn't talk about games news. He makes games news.
Ooh, yeah. Look at that. But yeah, so... Yeah, this way you are 100% correct. I totally forgot about the state of play, and I forgot to watch it. Like when it came on, like I knew it was on that Thursday, and I was like, "What was it? A Friday? I think it was a Thursday." I need to go to the gym, and I went to the gym, and I was like, "I'll watch it later." And I never watched it. But yeah, these last few weeks have been a bit busy, to say the least. So we'll probably be back on top of our game next week.
It's been a long week, right?
It has been a long week. It has been a long week. I mean, as we speak right now. We are recording this at 11 a.m. We both work 40-hour jobs. So, like, this is, we'll be paying for this later. So, but, thanks for listening. Nah. Like, we'll have things back on track next week. And trust me, like, sometimes we'll do a dud of a show. We won't do two duds in a row. I promise you that. Oh, yeah. But even at least if it's a dud, this one doesn't last that long. It's only about 40 minutes or so. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to start closing up here. Close up the dud. Yeah. So let's see. We've got this week on the Mashles Buttons Network, a new Sit Rep Radio, which is that actually that's a pretty general show, too. That's more general than this show. But hey, people like it. We have a new Ready Room, which is a companion show for the Dropping Spicy community, which is a, you know, that's an Apex-based community that we run in our Discord. We have a new Warcraft Reloaded. We're going to have a new Push the Point. Push the Point is back on a weekly basis starting this week. So we're going to have a new Push the Point. They're starting their Overwatch League season previews. A new Double Tap for the fighting game community. A new Dropping Spicy for Apex Legends. And a new Wondrous Tales. We're also going to have a new Night City Stories and a new Torn and the Goblin. You can hear Nick on that one. That show is never a dud because they prepare well. Tune in to find out.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be this week. You don't know.
Yes, but like I said, I'd like to thank you guys for listening. Nick, where can they find you on social media?
I am at WookieBH on Twitter. You can also find me here on the Mash Those Buttons Network on WoW Talk, where we talk about Warcraft news and guild management. Also on the Torn and the Goblin, as mentioned. This week, Katie is off because she's got a long week with real life stuff. So I have Spaz Wesson and Kurabara, who you may recognize, on the show talking about the Ardenweald campaign. So check that out. And yeah, that's all. That's the only places I am. Then this show, but you're already listening to this show. You know, that's where you find me, so that's where I am.
And God bless you if you're still listening right now. I think you're just trying to figure out what's going on. Hey, what the fuck is happening? You can find me on Twitter at Josh Tradamus. You can find me also on Twitch at twitch.tv/churchofja. And you can follow the Mash Button Network at twitter.com/themashnetwork. If you want to join our community, you can do so at mash.gg/discord, where you can talk to us about any of the shows we have on the network, or, you know, any games or anything like that. Come in the Discord. It's, you know, it's pretty eventful in there. I encourage you guys to contact us, you know, the show with comments and questions. So you can reach us on Twitter, as like I said, it's twitter.com/themashnetwork, or you can reach us on our Discord, or you can just shoot us an email at contact@mash.gg. If you enjoyed the show, wow. you like to help us out. You can do so by sharing the show with others. Not this episode, but number 42. Share the show with others and rate and review the show on your podcast platform of choice. If you want to take your support a bit further, you can do so on Patreon, which is patreon.com/mashthosebuttons. You can help support the Mash Those Buttons network, you know, with tiers starting at $1 a month, and getting early access to content as well as exclusive content. We also have a Teespring store, which is teespring.com/smashthosebuttons. And you can drop us a Twitch sub if you like. That's at twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons. You can also go to mashthosebuttons.com/support-us, and you can see other ways to support the network, like using our Humble Bundle affiliate links, or you can provide a direct donation if you like. And I encourage you guys to stay tuned after the show to hear more about Mash Those Buttons. And with that, we're done for the week. I know you're happy. We won't do two duds in a row.
Why aren't we setting goals?
This must be like when they record movies. I don't know if they're ever in the middle of recording a movie and like, yo, this shit sucks. Like,
yeah, but usually they're getting paid for it. So they're just like, I'm cashing the check. That's all I'm thinking about.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/themashnetwork, facebook.com/mashthosebuttons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/discord.